What's up, folks? Welcome into another episode of Believe in Commanders. It's your boy, the original 1-3, Anthony Armstrong, in here. And I am coming back with a few news and notes, some things that I've seen coming across the social spaces about this team and the burgundy and gold. We're going to talk about them today, a little bit about Brandon Coleman. Saw him out here with some footwork. The draft, is the draft going to be in the D.C. area? And we're going to talk about, obviously, there's a little bit of drama out there. So we'll talk about that briefly. I ain't going to hang out there too long. We'll let everything happen and take its course. But it comes across. We got to make sure that we mention it. But first and foremost, this podcast is a part of the Believe Network. We have all amazing pods that are out there on the Believe Network. You can catch our sports stuff on SI.com. And you can also catch us on the Believe TV, on Believe Network and with Reach TV in airports, hotels, and all these various streaming platforms. So make sure you share this podcast with your other Commanders fans. Get them in the loop. Get them on the Believe in Commanders, Commanders bandwagon. And we can stay linked up. And you also know the social platform. Go ahead and give us a follow at Believe Commanders. And if you're on YouTube, hit that notification bell and like and subscribe to this baby, all right? But first and foremost, we also know this much. This podcast is brought to you by the good folks over there at BetOnline. BetOnline is your number one source for the NBA and NHL playoffs this season. Every stat, every matchup, and even live odds while the games are being played. And when the game is over, you're going to head over there to the casino. Get in on a game of blackjack or poker, or you can unwind with one of over the 150 slot games that are available. Head on to the website today to get in on the action, and don't forget to use that promo code BELIEVE, that's BLEAV, to get that 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online, the game starts here. And where we're going to start this game, we're going to start this game up front. We're starting up front. We're starting with some good news, all right? We're starting with some good news. I'm going to chime in right here. Pod. I'm looking for Big 74 right here. Okay, let me show you. If you're looking on the YouTube, it's the old line going through some drills right here. And one of the things about Brandon Coleman that I was questioning was, is he going to have that ability to really get a deep set going against this fast pass rush? So if you're looking on the YouTube, you can see the guy is covering a couple of about 3-4 yards laterally. He's having to kick, slide, and get back. If you're listening, you imagine your left tackle is trying to drop back, kick back into his stance, and get to the edge defender, and then he's also having to redirect and get to the inside. Seeing Brandon Coleman do this, it is uplifting. Obviously, there's no pads. There's nothing in play like that. But whenever I was watching his tape from TCU, just a couple of those games, he's a quick set guy. Kind of stood up real fast, wanted to get his hands on somebody. And that way he could control that defender and make sure that he was able to, you know, be in control of him and make sure he wasn't going to get away. But in this league, you know, people are fast. They're going to get up and around the edge. So how is he going to be able to translate if he's going to play that tackle position? You brought in Nick Allegretti at guard. Cosme's already locked in on that other side. And you also brought in Tyler Biadasz from Dallas as well to play the center position. So you got to imagine Coleman is slotted to play that tackle spot, but it is good to see that the guy has some agility. He's a dancing bear, y'all. He's able to get back, kick, slide, and put his hands on somebody. I'm intrigued to see how he kicks out going to his left, because that is where he's going to be lined up, protecting Jaden Daniels. So the next thing, after the draft in Detroit, and you saw the attendance, you saw there over, I think, 300,000 people attended the draft. It was just so much fanfare, a great experience has been put on. And now the draft is traveling. It's on the road. It is one of those shows you can catch in a different location each year. And I know Green Bay is up. Pittsburgh is saying that they would host in 2026. Like I said, next year's draft, 2025, is going to be in Green Bay. Pittsburgh is going to have 2026. And so after that, you have all these other teams that are trying to vie for four positions. So just checking out this one article, says Dallas, Chicago, Nashville, Philadelphia, Cleveland, Las Vegas, and Detroit have hosted the draft since it went on the road in 2015. And for years, the NFL draft was obviously held in New York City at Radio City Music Hall. But the next two hosts are already known. 2027 is the one up for grabs. And the Commanders in D.C. are saying, hey, it's got to be in the district. It's got to be here in the district. And let's see. Per the post report, the Commanders were among 12 teams in Detroit that were doing to conduct site surveys, basically trying to learn how does that thing work out, what are the logistics going to be for it. But let me know, what do y'all think about the draft in the district? Where do you think they should do with it? I think it's a National Harbor thing. I mean, probably too much traffic. I mean, hell, it's going to be traffic regardless. Let's be real. It's going to be traffic regardless in D.C., but if you're going to have the traffic, I mean, you try to find a way to mitigate as much as possible. One thing I'd say, I would not want them to go too far down into Virginia. No disrespect to Virginia, but I don't want to go too far down to Virginia. I would want to be closer into D.C. National Harbor would suffice if I had to choose. But let me know, where do y'all think it should be? Where should they put the draft if it goes into the district? One thing that I can say that I am extremely thankful for one, having been a part of the Washington organization and getting to connect with fans on social media, and then now through the podcast, being able to jump on other people's shows. And I apologize if I haven't gotten to join yours, but we'll make that thing happen. I often go and join the folks over there at the Burgundy Zone. It's Kyle Ronick and Mike Hall and the other Mike as well. He wasn't there. Mike wasn't there, but I joined them. And one thing I love about over there, that they always have very thoughtful questions. They get some fan questions that get thrown in their little mailbag type thing. And I wanted to bring that over here to y'all. So let's tune in. Let's take a look, see, and listen to what was going down over there at the Burgundy Zone.
Buzz, we thought we'd bring in our guy here, friend of the show, fantastic man himself, former Washington Redskin wide receiver, speedster, the deep threat, Mr. Anthony Armstrong. Anthony, how you doing, brother? Look at it.
Oh no, I felt like that was a hell of a wrestling promo intro right there, man. Ooh, look at the beard coming in. I see you.
Dude, the only reason I have the beard right now is because my trimmer died. And so, so I can't, my mustache would look ridiculous if I have my normal bit. And you can't really see it, but like it looks like I'm not growing hair here, but there's hair here. I promise. The beard looks good.
Oh my goodness.
My wife likes
it. Oh my goodness. Hey, that's all that matters, right? As long as your boo thing is on board. Shoot, man. Hey, he's like, hell, I got to live with her. Hell, she might as well like it.
Absolutely. Yeah, you should have heard her when I shaved my head and I told her I was doing that from now on. She said, well, you better grow the beard then. So, okay. I'll do that.
She likes your hair, man. That's good.
Anthony, my first question, we're going to answer some fan questions as well, brother. Like you being a friend of this show, you've been doing the dance with us, but I want to get into some questions I personally have for you, brother. And I want to talk about Bobby Wagner and that kind of influence, not only just on the veteran presence, but the fact of like who he is as a player as well. Was there a player like that that you played with, and what the kind of influence that is on a young player?
Man, that is a hell of a question, because I felt like that's been a missing piece for this team for a long time. And it's like, you're like, oh, well, there are leaders on this team. I mean, you have, you know, John Allen's and I think they are leaders there because they are leaders, but it's kind of leaders by proxy, right? You kind of, you know, Terry McLaurin made himself a leader and commanded it, and he did it on the field. But there's a difference where, when you see how there was the disrespect and people didn't necessarily respect the leadership that was over there, I've been saying you need somebody that's going to close the door after he's going to excuse the coaching staff from the meeting room. And then he's going to close the door and he's going to say, we need to fix these things. That is what Bobby Wagner brings, right? He brings that level of leadership. And it's not downplaying Duron and Jonathan Allen's leadership. I think, you know, they're leaders because they're the best players at one of the best schools. But Nick Saban was the leader.
Right.
Right.
In terms of, like, you could almost say it like a parent, the difference between your parent scolding you for something and your older brother closing the door behind and saying, no, no, you don't do that sort of thing, to your point.
Yeah. I like that analogy. So, when you talk about a player like that, I think about the players I respected, London Fletcher. I know D. Hall had done that a few times. I think like Lorenzo, just the ones that's like a total captain of that unit. Like if the kickoff team was not performing well, Zoe would be like, hey, hold on a second. Like, this isn't it. Let's fix this. Like, see, let's talk this out. Let's get, you know, we'd be on the same page. So that's what Bobby Wagner brings. I think it's an important missing piece. And now you have it, which can make it so dominating on the defense.
You're absolutely right. And you being a former wide receiver, I'm fascinated to know this answer from you. Like, Jaden Daniels' running ability is obviously something that is dangerous for defenses, but obviously it's something that you want to have controlled chaos, right, with that sort of running. But that running ability, what does it do for you as a wide receiver?
Man, that there's a couple ways you can see a running quarterback. Now, I think, you know, one of them is throwing, running to run and running to throw.
Right.
I want to see how he handles that, right, how he navigates that. I think if you go and try to compare, you'll see a Patrick Mahomes kind of runs where he will distinctly run and take off, but a lot of times he's trying to extend enough so for somebody to get open so he can throw it. Is Jaden going to play more in that realm, or is he going to fall more in the line of, let's say, Lamar Jackson?
Right.
And where I feel like if Lamar starts to take off, he's like, I'm finna, we'll go ahead and run for 15, mm-hmm. and then we'll get back and we'll be on first down and go from there. So if he leans more to the run to the pass, it lets me know that I'm always alive. It lets me know that I always have a chance to get the ball thrown to me. And hell, like I just have an opportunity to do something. Like, it's not just like, oh, well, he's going to throw it away because that's the next read. It's like, all right, he's running back to me. Hey, scramble drill is now in full effect. Let me get back downhill and find a, you know, be a open receiver for my guy. So yeah, it lets you know that there are big plays available, and he's ready to deliver those.
I want to ask you about Coach Dan Quinn, because obviously I'm not at that level of obviously, but like at the pro level, I think coaching is incredibly hard in the terms of the respect factor and getting guys to buy in and everything that you're doing. From the outside looking in, just seeing it, what have you seen in the difference with Dan Quinn?
You know, it's just immediately, you can tell in the language that's used in the interviews. You can tell in everybody's on, like, beating it with the same drum. And it's just been the same thing. And it's all positive. Like, it's all good vibes. I've said that there's this confidence that's, you know, that's brewing over there, but it's also a bit of humility, right? Like, mm-hmm. you know, the pot is simmering and it's steaming, but, you know, it's got the lid on it, right? But a little while, you popping popcorn, it's gonna expand and eventually it pops off. But right now, like, everybody's like, man, like, this is better than before. They feel rejuvenated. It's something about that, and then him being able to get the best out of people. One thing I saw, Kyle, and what's up, Mike?
What's up?
One thing that I saw, he said, and it stuck out to me, he says, we're trying to learn the learners. He said that early on in one of his press conferences. And what that stands out to me is that he's like, I'm trying to find out, how does this person best interpret this information, right? Not everybody is going to be like, come sit in the office with me and let's watch film. He's like, Coach, I don't know the film. I already don't understand it. Just tell me who to cover and I got it. Some people are like that. Other guys, like, you know, you have to physically put them on the field and give them more reps. And the more they do it, they start to understand. Some people are drawing, they write it down. Some people just get to tell them and they're like, okay, got it. They're figuring that out. And I think that's what gets people to buy in more, because they can see that he's taking that step to help, you know, because it's like, hey, you telling me run down, I'm a small guy. Hey, you run down there, hit the wedge. Right. But if I'm not doing it that well and you come to my level and say, look, I understand, like, it, you're hitting 600 pounds of people, but let me help you out. Let's find a way to make this successful for you. So I think his ability to connect with players on the way that they learn is what separates him. And it's shown that everybody is kind of on the same page.
Yeah, and it's like that parent-teacher, a teacher-student kind of relationship in a way, and it's almost that one-on-one learning is, I guess, what Dan Quinn is saying, and essentially that just trying to learn how each student actually learns. Like, I'm more hands-on, I have to be able to obviously I can watch film, but I have to be able to do it to kind of really learn it and see it happen in front of me to be able to kind of get the concept of it. And I'm sure Hall is different than I am, right? And how do you get both guys to buy into what you're trying to sell, right? You have to be able to learn how they do that. Hall, thank you for joining us, dude. I know you're feeling a little bit under the weather, but do you have a question for Anthony before we answer fan questions?
So obviously it's been a pretty good, I would say really, really good offseason for the Commanders, going all the way back to hiring the GM, Adam Peters, and all the additions that Harris and his group are taking over with as far as like the front office changes and all that. And they go ahead and draft Jaden Daniels, who a lot of the fan base is really hype about. What do you think has been their best addition this entire offseason?
Yeah, man. See, the one thing I love about coming over here, y'all got some questions, man. Like, y'all got some really well thought out, like, need to be asked to some of these people in the building. And, you know, I'm kind of a softball. I'll give you a softball. I ain't over here to cause no drama. But y'all asked a hell of a question. The best addition that they've made, it's honestly, that is so difficult to grade, because you can put everything in a different silo and you're like, is it on the field? Right. You're like, okay, is it, that's obviously it's a quarterback right now. You're gonna put that on there. Or is it a Bobby Wagner? You're gonna name a player. But I honestly feel like it's gotta be Adam Peters. I think he's gotta be the best, because if he is the true architect of what's going on right now. I mean, that he ran the draft and everybody A+. When's the last time you seen A+ in Washington on the draft? Yeah. I can't tell you when.
Been a long time.
Maybe in a mock draft. I do a mock draft. You're like, if this happens, then we cool. But no, it's been a minute. And so for him to compile the coaching staff and then start building out this infrastructure of how the business runs, and like you can see, he's like, hey, y'all football coaches, go do football, right? They talk about, I'm gonna go off on a tangent, but this is very similar to how they run Texas Tech now. Texas Tech is there is a recruiting staff, and then there's the football staff. Football coaches coach. They don't even know who they recruit, and they just show up with new ingredients. They're like, all right, cool, bet I can work with you. But the recruiting staff does all the recruiting side of things. So I feel like this is how it's going. Like, let the brain trust, the personnel brain trust, get out there and do their thing. Let them navigate that. And then we going to give y'all the best type of player. You tell me what you need, I'll go find the best one. Right. So that's what they're doing. And him putting this together right now, like, this is, it's masterful to watch. Like, put some like classical music behind it. And you can just be like, man, this is artwork going on right now.
You're absolutely right. That probably is the most important and best asset that they have acquired so far, just given the structure to your overall point of giving what the team truly needs. And obviously Adam hired Dan Quinn and company. But let's answer some fan questions, boys, to wrap up this episode. This one's from Deluxe in the Discord, Anthony. He says he keeps seeing comparisons to the Houston Texans of last year. I think that's too much focus on one player. Has any team ever turned over so much in one offseason? Ownership, GM, coaching, personnel department, support administration, roster, 6 top 100 draft picks, uncharted territory, and he loves every bit of it.
Man, this is the Great Reset. Like, you hear you see that getting thrown around. This is the Great Reset. Like, you really saying, like, you never have you seen this situation work out this way, where you have all this cap space, you have draft picks, draft assets, monetary assets, ownership group that's ready to spend some assets. And now you went from having no place to play football. We don't want you over here. No, we don't want your stadium. Now it's like, hey, man, come on in. We'll build 2 stadiums if you want to play a home A and home B. like everybody wants the Washington franchise in their municipality. They want them there. You're getting fans to get back involved. And I mean, you just kind of got to sit back and just sit back and enjoy it, because This is never before seen. Never before seen. Like you, this is some true life Madden stuff where you go in there and you start playing with the sliders. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And what I think is the best part of it, y'all, is there hasn't been a big splash player. He didn't go Brian Burns.
Right.
You know what I mean? Even trading Montez Sweat. Right. Like, go way back there, you avoid the $100 million contract.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that makes a lot of sense to me. All they're going to do is double team them. You know what I'm saying? Like, right. Hell, let's see if we can get somebody like Lawrence Armstrong on the way up, having a good swing, has a hell of a last name. Like, he's got a lot of good things going for him. So, that makes sense to me. I like how he's just navigating this thing. It's cool to watch.
It is cool to watch. And Deluxe, to your question, I think the comparisons to Houston is probably a simple aspect of way people are looking at it, and it's more so hopeful. And obviously the Texans are built in a different aspect. Like they hired their general manager from New England like 3 or 4 years prior. So they had time to build up for CJ Stroud, so to speak. This coaching staff and this administration, they did not have that ability. But I will say this, I love the way that they have built it.
I got to jump in here because I didn't get to say this when I was over there with Kyle and Mike. When you compare it to Houston, I mean, you're looking at on paper, you're saying immediately you got a top quarterback. CJ Stroud was over there. Now you got Jaden Daniels in Washington. Then you got to think, oh, well, you have a first-time head coach, a young head coach. Well, D'Amico Ryans was a first-time head coach. Dan Quinn is a Super Bowl head coach who has now worked his way back up that hill. So I think he comes with a little bit more acumen. Not saying that D'Amico's bad. I love D'Amico Ryans. I think he's a hell of a coach. But you got Dan Quinn, who has coached to that level, coached to the Super Bowl, and is now working his way back down. Bobby Slowick Jr., young offensive coordinator. You got to think on the flip side in Washington. You've got Cliff Kingsbury, who's been there before. You got Brian Johnson, who's the assistant head coach. He's been there before in that level. So there's a lot more experience than than what was in Washington, or I'm sorry, in Houston. So I'm interested to see. I'm interested to see how it plays out, but I do like that comparison. The GM that Nikhil's talking about is Nick Cassero. Picked him up a few years ahead of getting over there. Ahead of the big changes that happened, the trade for Larry Metunsil and all that other jazz, Nick Cassero was the architect of that.
The team, to Anthony's point, the island of misfit toys, bringing guys over like Jeremy Chinn, Frankie Louvu, who almost feel like they have been left behind by the other coaching staff that was implemented into their team halfway into their career, right? And so a lot of these guys on this team right now aren't the big name guys, aren't the big money guys that have something to prove. And when you have a young team like this, that's the type of personality that you want for everyone to buy in and say, we have an opportunity here. We believe in you. And as a team, as a unit, we can do some incredible things now that we have the structure and administration organization behind us trying to get the most success possible. Paul, do you got anything to add?
Yeah, just overall to that Texans comparison, like, I get it because, like you said, they already had the GM in place and they've been kind of building this like low key up until now. But if you really look at like Nico Collins and Tank Dell was a rookie coming in, so you didn't really know what you're going to get from him.
He's my boy.
Like, I think the comparison comes because I think people think that Jaden Daniels can kind of have that he can just come in and kind of elevate the play of everyone else around him. Like I said, because no one was talking about Nico Collins as a dominant number one wide receiver and no one knew what they're going to get out of. Well, I know you did, but I'm saying most people, unless you're a Texans fan, you didn't really know
the tape. You got to run the tape. You should run the tape. Like, hey, I called this, by the way, but
I did. I was just talking about in that pre-draft process. I really liked Nico Collins. He was a playmaker.
He's a Michigan guy. I knew who Nico Collins was. I knew he was a baller, but most people outside of the Texans fans were kind of like, who's this guy? He kind of just burst on the scene last year. So I just think that I'm not going to say like anything's possible, but as far as like the comparison of like the Texans with the quick turnaround and making the playoffs, that's like the ceiling of what it could be. But I just think the floor of the comparison is Jaden Daniels seems like a guy that's going to come in and elevate the play of everyone around him and elevate the team to maybe 2-3 more wins, kind of like a CJ Stroud did last year.
Yeah. I mean, for what it's worth, Houston was 10-7. They would have been third in the NFC East. I mean, you know, so. That, shoot, I could see Washington at its best. I mean, and like you said, this division is always flip-flopping.
Yep.
So I think the goal is, I think the top is making it to the winning the division.
Yep, and you're absolutely right. Mm-hmm. In the division with the sweethearts of the NFL and the NFL media with Philly and New York and Dallas. It's awesome to have the mindset of the Island of Misfit Toys in this aspect. I love what they are building here. Anthony, and the next question is from Alad, who's actually going to the Tampa Bay game this year and from the UK. Thank you, Alad. Oi! His question is, Anthony, with the current O-line personnel, can Jaden Daniels carry the team in that respect, or will we have to look at other options on hopefully to have a successful season? P.S., he says, I'm heading over to Tampa.
All right. So go back a little bit. What's the question? Repeat it again.
With the current O-line personnel, can Jaden Daniels carry the team in that respect, or do you think that we will have to look at other avenues, i.e. free agents post June 1st cuts?
Mm-hmm. I think that you definitely have to have your finger on the pulse of the tackle market. Brandon Coleman may be a gem, when you look at the NFC East edges that are going to be out there getting busy, you probably want to make sure you have a couple, bits and options that you can put in there, right? Like it's not easy. So I think you got to have your finger on that pulse for sure. You catch me tuning in, joining the folks over there at the Burgundy Zone, Kyle and Mike with the Burgundy Zone. I visited with them last week. We're talking all Commanders news. So that's what you tune in. Enjoy. But you never know. You may get something. You may hit strike gold with Lucas and Coleman. Maybe they shuffle the deck and Coleman's inside. And, I'm sure you'll see that look, Coleman inside and Lucas outside, and see how they work together. But you never know. So pay attention to it. Bakhtiari is out there. And who else is out there? Orlando Brown, is he out there too?
I think he's still with the Cincinnati Bengals, if I'm not mistaken. I think they signed him last season to a pretty big contract, if I'm not mistaken. But with the current O-line personnel, we just talked to David Harrison before you, Anthony, and he talked about how he's seen John Bates working really well with Brandon Coleman and that they worked well together fast. And that's really refreshing to hear, because John Bates is basically an offensive lineman as a blocker from the tight end position. And so that's one way you could say you can kind of offset that issue that people kind of think there. But also the offensive game plan of Cliff Kingsbury of getting the ball out of Jaden Daniels' hands fast can kind of mitigate those risks as well. And also the run game with Brian Robinson, one of the best pass blocking backs, probably in the NFL. I'm not going to be coy about it. The dude is a freaking tank back there. And so I think that with the personnel we do have, I don't think that we need to be panicking about it. Now, that being said, if something does happen in camp and maybe they do need to add somebody else, I would love to add a guy like David Bakhtiari or others here. But at the moment, it's not something that I feel is a need. And I truly do feel that Jaden Daniels is not going to be required to carry it. I think they're going to be able to facilitate whatever they need to in order to help Jaden Daniels be at his strength, because it's a different coaching staff. And what everyone has said about Cliff Kingsbury and his quarterbacks is he gears everything to their strengths. And it's not more so putting everything on his shoulders. It's just doing what he does best. And let's allow that to happen. And so I don't think that they're going to restrain or constrict him at all with what they have in personnel. I think they're going to map it out for him. What about you, Hall?
Yeah, I'm kind of with Anthony on this. Like, outside of the left tackle, I think the line is solid, like, average to above average at best, depending on how they play and gel together. But I think that left tackle position is obviously right now a pretty big hole. And if you really look at the schedule and the teams that we face this year, the AFC North, the division teams, you got Brian Burns, Michael Parsons, Miles Garrett, TJ Watt, the Ravens defense. So there's going to be some heavy hitter defensive ends that we're going to have to go up against this year. And you're going to need that blindside protected. So,
touche, sir.
Like you said, Bakhtiari's out there, but I know he's played like 3 games in the past like 2-3 years, which is like crazy.
Let's jump in right quick. Did y'all see the news? Kayvon Thibodeau said he wants to break Michael Strahan's single season sack record. I think that's 22 and a half sacks. Since we talking about the tackle position in Washington, he gave up 65 last year. And one bright spot across the offensive line, Sam Cosmi gave up one. Now, he's not outside to hold it down, but he gave up one of those 65 sacks. So he's doing a really, really good thing. Hopefully the additions that are across the interior of this line will help solidify things there. Allegretti can help Coleman or Lucas out on the outside. And then on that opposite side, you need to have Andrew Wiley up his game and play to a much higher level. But do y'all think that Kayvon is going to break that 22.5? Let me know at Believe Commanders on your social platforms. Let me know something.
Easy. So, I mean, can you take a flyer on a guy like that? Who knows? But like you said, hopefully Coleman can develop and maybe become that guy down the road or maybe midseason. But yeah, as of right now, I think that Cliff's going to try to scheme around it, get the quick pass game going. Obviously, the run game's going to help. So I do think that they'll try to scheme around it, but I don't think they'll make Jaden kind of do it all by himself. I do think they're going to have to get the quick game going, the screen game, the running game going. So I think it'll be all that combined into one to help Jaden out.
I'll go a step further than that. I say you can – if Bakhtiari ain't played but three games, hell, maybe those top two kids do develop pretty good, and they're good enough where you're like, I'd rather start them and let them get the reps to get better, knowing I have Bakhtiari to kind of, hey, man, it's getting ugly. Can you hold it down?
Man, like, that's a good point.
Put him in there in short order, and then they're like, who's going to start next week? He's going to say, it's going to be this other dude, right? Like, we're not going to wear him out. So I don't know. That they may think that way. I don't know. That's just something that crossed my mind where you're like, I got the OG just in case. And then worst case, you just keep – he's going to keep being healthier and more fresh the later you get in the season, plus week 14 bye again. So yep. That's a long time to have before you have a break. Fortunately, they don't have to travel very far.
Yeah, and obviously the injury history is well cataloged with David Bakhtiari, but I do think he gets a bad rap. The original surgery he got on his knee was not properly repaired, and so he was draining historic amount of fluids out of his knee the past two seasons, and what they're reporting now, I think as of this week or last week, that they actually properly repaired it. And so now it's just seeing how he recovers from it. And obviously, I would love to add him here, but it's like that's a guy who is a high caliber type of player at his peak. And obviously, he could be at the bottom of it, of course. But just putting the caveat in there, he is kind of getting not a fair shake in the terms of how we're talking about him in the three games and stuff. He was.
All right, now we're going to stop that right there. That's joining Kyle and Mike over there at the Burgundy Zone. We're going to place the last bit of my time over there. It's going to hop up on the next episode of Believe in Commander, so you can catch the rest of their fan questions that I answered. Loved going back through that. That was awesome to do. Appreciate Kyle and Mike for having me over there on that show. Appreciate y'all for tuning in to Believe in Commanders. Make sure you check us out on all your favorite streaming platforms. Go check out Bet Online. Go use our code Believe. That's BLEAV. Get that 50% welcome bonus. And come back next time. Come back next time for some more Commanders news, notes, and nuggets. And the rest of this episode from the Burgundy Zone. Y'all be good. Be easy. Talk to y'all soon.